Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, as always, a lot of very important news to cover today, most of which you will likely not see on the mainstream media. And today, in particular, it's very hyper-focused around Yemen, which is not really anything new in particular for this show. But unfortunately, we have some breaking news that was directly given to me by Hussein Al-Bukhaidi, someone who I'm going to be having on this show in the very near future, the very person who broke the story about the MK82 bomb made by Lockheed Martin that was used in the killing of 40 children in a bus in Yemen, with the U.S. backing and direct involvement in picking that location. He reached out to me early this morning with some new information on a breaking story taking place in Yemen, or rather that took place in Yemen. And it is indeed a very sad story. And a lot of the news today revolves around the concept in Yemen, and as well as the larger understanding of John Bolton in regard to what he's doing within the Trump administration, and possibly how all of this may to some degree be connected. Which is not new for what they're usually trying to accomplish, but it seems like I'm beginning to notice a pattern in regard to what's going on in Syria, in Iran, in Yemen. So the terrible things that are being carried out in Yemen specifically with a direct involvement from the U.S. government. So the first story of the day, something that I wrote on myself this morning, as I said, directly coming from tweets and information being reported on by Hussein Al-Bukhaidi on the ground in Yemen. The article I wrote this morning entitled Breaking 22 Children and 5 Women Killed by Saudi UAE Strikes on Another Bus. And indeed, this is another bus with 22 children killed today in Yemen with the forces of the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition. Indeed, a very sad story, but it's something that's very important to report on and something that we need to make sure gets spread, especially knowing that they refuse to cover this in the mainstream media unless we force them to, just as we did last time. So even in the midst of growing awareness around Yemen being the largest humanitarian disaster in the world, and the direct and willing participation and perpetuation and obfuscation of that crisis by the U.S. government, we have not only seen the bombing of innocent civilians continue, but actually intensify. We recently discussed the death of 40 children in a school bus carried out by a U.S.-made, funded, and provided MK82 bomb, and with the guidance of U.S. intelligence that was deemed a legitimate military operation by Saudi government and defended by the U.S. government. This story and the fact that it was a Lockheed Martin-made bomb in conjunction with General Dynamics was broke by Hussein Al-Bukhaidi, someone that, like I said, will be on the show soon. And this was he broke this on Yemen on Twitter from the ground in Yemen, which was then reported on by Ben Norton, which was reported on by a lot of people. We saw Matt Lee ask about it in a press conference which is frustratingly, as we saw Heather Nauert refused to condemn the attack and basically say that what they did was a legitimate operation. This was broken by Hussein Al-Bukhaidi in the first place, and he's the one that reached out to me today. Now, despite the disingenuous single-day coverage of the event by the corporate media, after being forced to do so by the tireless and relentless efforts of the independent media pushing this into the mainstream discussion, it was just as quickly forgotten, or rather continued to be ignored, even when just weeks later, a U.S.-backed Saudi offensive in Hodeidah, which we reported on, was indiscriminately killing civilians. Hussein Al-Bukhaidi reached out today via direct message informing me and others in the independent media that yet another cowardly attack was carried out, taking the lives, sadly, of 22 children, as well as other civilians, but women as well. And you can see here what the tweet that he recently sent out. Casualties reached 31, including 22 children. First Saudi UAE strike targeted Aqua village, 5 dead, 2 injured. Another strike targeted a bus carrying women and children from homes been hit before they were trying to flee, obviously quickly typing this out. Very sad story. And clearly this is someone that deserves our respect and someone that we should hold in high regard, especially, like I said, for breaking the previous story about the bomb fragments that proved that it was a U.S.-made bomb that carried out the last attack. So this will no doubt be resoundingly absent from mainstream coverage today. Unless, of course, we once again force them to acknowledge the true nature of this situation, the true nature of U.S. intervention, and the lethal toll it takes on the population it so deceitfully claims to be fighting to protect. We will be sure and update everyone on this story as it continues to develop and as we hear more from the ground. But the important thing to understand is that this is a daily occurrence for the civilian population of Yemen in what amounts to simply the next country in a long line of countries to be liberated by the U.S. government. Moving on to the next story, and very directly related, coming from antimedia.com, entitled, U.S. Senate Rejects Call to Defund the Slaughter of Yemeni Kids. Very sad, coming right off what we just saw happen. The strikes on Hodeidah, the attacks on funerals, the attacks on civilian infrastructure, on their fishing boats, $5.5 billion lost due to these civilian attacks by the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition. And the U.S. Senate rejects calls to defund the slaughter of Yemeni kids. So U.S. Senator Chris Murphy on Wednesday denounced as mind-blowing the decision to continue to willingly participate in the slaughter of Yemeni kids after members of Congress objected to his amendment to the defense appropriation bill that would have put key restrictions on U.S. financial and other support for the Saudi-led bombing campaign. The amendment doesn't even put a full stop on U.S. support, but merely requires, quote, the administration to certify that civilians aren't intentionally getting targeted in contravention of U.S. law before we continue to support this funding, according to Murphy. Of course, basically saying, now I'm not saying we end the war. Well, we can't have that. Don't get me wrong. We need war, but let's just try not to kill so many people. Obviously, I'm being facetious here. It's a good thing to see him speaking out about the war, but we have to recognize the undertones here in this whole thing, that war is not the issue. Rather, that we're being too obvious in killing so many civilians. So let's pull back some funding on how much that's happening. The problem is the war, the unjust, unnecessary war on one of the most destitute civilian populations in the world due to previous Western-backed actions, but that's an entirely another discussion. But the reality here is that the war he's making very clear is not what we're talking about, just the funding that may be trying to kill less civilians in the process. Speaking on the Senate floor, next to a photo of a Yemeni community center bombed when a funeral was underway, which we reported on in the past, Murphy gave a damning assessment of the catastrophe the U.S. has helped fuel. Quote, the United States is a key player in this bombing campaign, he noted. In his floor speech, Murphy said, quote, the targeting of civilians inside Yemen is getting worse, not better, and referenced an event he said should underscore the urgency of his amendment, the coalition's bombing earlier this month of the school bus in Yemen that killed 40 children. Quote, we are radicalizing a generation of Yemeni children against us, and that will have implications for U.S. national security for years to come. Now, that's so important to cover this point that a U.S. senator is saying some of the things that are currently even denounced as conspiracy theory or fake news when reported on by the independent media. Understand these things he's talking about, the idea of blowback and creating radicalized generations due to these unnecessary bombing campaign, and that the U.S. is directly involved in the killing of these civilians. Getting better, or getting worse, not better. These things that they continue to talk against. But the reality is, this is what's happening. But I take this one step further away from what Murphy is saying, basically, you know, the war needs to continue, but we need to make sure we're not killing people. No, the war is the problem. War is the problem. And we need to begin to recognize that. And even more so recognize that the vast majority of Americans do not want more war. Do not want us to be involved in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iran, in Venezuela, and any number of other countries out there that we are currently involved in, or rather our government's involved in our name, when it does not suit any kind of an American agenda other than the U.S. oligarchy. Something we need to begin to recognize and continue to spread. Moving on to the next story, and kind of a recap of an older story coming from globalresearch.com, entitled, U.S. Saudis Enlist Al-Qaeda Mercenaries for Yemen War. Something that we've talked about already. We reported on this when AP first came out with this story. But this is an important follow-up in relation to the Yemen War, in particular because of Tony Carlucci's coverage and what he relates this to. Tony Carlucci always does some excellent work, and this story is very important. And of course, as it relates specifically to kind of the general major topic today of Yemen. So as he says, Associated Press had revealed that the U.S.-backed Saudi-led war against Yemen includes the use of al-Qaeda as a mercenary force against the Houthi rebels, which, again, we recently reported on. This confirms as fact what was widely dismissed by Western politicians and a complicit Western media as a conspiracy theory since 2011. Again, how many conspiracy theories have been proven to be true in these last so many years? Think about that. Evidence that the U.S. and its allies enlisted al-Qaeda and other extremist groups to wage serial proxy wars across the Middle East and North Africa, from Libya and Syria to Yemen, has piled up into a mountain emerging high above the fog of disinformation behind which these wars have been fought. AP would link the Muslim Brotherhood directly to al-Qaeda militants, stating, quote, "In some places, militants join battles independently, but in many cases, militia commanders from the ultra-conservative Salaf sect and the Muslim Brotherhood bring them directly into their ranks, where they benefit from coalition funding," according to AP. This is further evidence exposing the Muslim Brotherhood's role in preparing the grounds for the U.S.-engineered 2011 Arab Spring uprisings and the planned violence that accompanied them. As Tony writes, of course, while Western leaders and the media attempted to deny complicity in the dominant role al-Qaeda played in conflicts across MENA for years, a look at any conflict map, be it in regards to Syria or Yemen, reveals that pockets of extremists operating in both nations are adjacent to U.S.-Saudi-controlled supply lines and U.S.-Saudi-controlled territory. Not because the U.S. or Saudi Arabia are fighting al-Qaeda and its affiliates, but because they are protecting and using these extremists to fight their various regional wars on their behalf. Just like we pointed out in Syria, with the little pockets of ISIS that are snugged right in against the U.S. areas. This is not new news, simply something they continue to disregard and something we have to continue to point out. Moving on to the next story coming from antimedia.com. Oh, actually, originally from Anti-War, reported on by Anti-Media, which is where I first saw it, entitled U.S. Intends to Use Sanctions to Drive Iran Oil Exports to Zero. Now, this story is important for many reasons, as it connects to the larger concept. First of all, the reality of what they really intend to do with these sanctions. Once again, Bolton may be inadvertently pointing out that these sanctions are designed to hurt the average population. But we have to remember how intricately connected Iran is with all of this, from Syria to Yemen to Iran itself. Even if it's not necessarily the entire case when it comes to the Houthi rebels, it is on the Western propaganda front. So it's important to remember that. So playing up U.S. sanctions against Iran during his visit to Israel, John Bolton said that the U.S. is fully prepared to use its sanctions to drive Iranian oil down to zero, to force a, quote, massive change in the regime's behavior. Again, once again, clearly saying that the goal is to hurt their economy, which is not a surprising concept, but we have to understand how that plays into the propaganda about Venezuela, how that's not the case. No, it's socialism over there. But the sanctions are designed to hurt the economy, which directly hurts the civilian population. Clearly speaking, from Israel, there's a very clear connection with the overall goal with Israel and the United States against Iran and the larger agenda therein. State Department officials have previously said cut to zero was a goal, but that appears virtually impossible. China is Iran's largest oil buyer and has insisted it will continue to do so. This means at least a third of Iran's oil exports before the sanctions were reimposed will continue. Those nations trying to follow the U.S. demands and request sanction waivers are likely to be disappointed as well, which it seems pretty basic to understand. Bolton says the objective, quote, is essentially we'd like to say no to waivers to sanctions, which means they will say no. So far, that's been the case. There's no sign that any of the nations seeking waivers have gotten one, even on vital trade, simply because it's against Iran. Iraq has stated its intention to seek waivers on certain parts of their substantial trade with Iran, though it seems very unlikely that they'll get any. Clearly, the point is to hurt Iran in this regard. And remember how this connects back to Yemen and Syria. And for the final story of the day, another follow-up on something we recently reported on. This story we actually discussed slightly at length on the TLAV Research and Review, which we will have directly following this show. But important to cover, following up on the big story from yesterday about another potential false flag and accusations about chemical weapons being levied against Syria yet again, entitled Bolton Again Warns Assad. Quote, "We will respond if chemical weapons used in Idlib offensive." very clearly opening the door to yet another attack, regardless of who carries it out or pretends to carry it out. That's all that really matters to the agenda, just like we saw last time in Douma, which we now know didn't happen, and they still bombed anyway. As the article begins, Bolton spoke at a press conference in Wednesday, also while in Jerusalem, where he met with Israeli officials. Quote, "We now see plans for the Syrian regime to resume offensive military activities in Idlib province," he said. Quote, "We are obviously concerned about the possibility that Assad may use chemical weapons again," Bolton warned, "just so there's no confusion here. If the Syrian regime uses chemical weapons, we will respond very strongly, and they really ought to think about this a long time." Setting the stage, yet again, for the same kind of thing we've seen played out over and over and over. And we have to see the connection here with Saudi Arabia, with Israel, and with the United States on what they're trying to carry out on their geopolitical chessboard. Could this next false flag, which we reported on, be used to lay blame at the feet of Iran, which they could then use to tie to Yemen as well? Is this ultimately all connected? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves, because this is what history has shown us. This is the way these things play out. And these have been agendas of Israel and the United States for a very long time. And through them, Saudi Arabia, which is their ultimate vassal state of their attack dog, ultimately, that they're used to create these extremist groups that are forced into these areas, to then be used to carry out these acts under the guise of fighting ISIS or extremists, even though we just clearly showed the very clear connection between the very extremists they pretend to fight. This is very important information to wrap your mind around, including coming from the false flag where they literally just accused them of chemical weapons use and said, if we see one more thing, we're going to invade, just like we saw in the past. Iran being intricately tied into all of this, and Yemen very clearly being tied into that, being a very geopolitically important location. And meanwhile, all of the tabloid news we're seeing reported on by the mainstream media today, nonsensical concepts that have been going on for a very long time, rooted in a lot of conjecture and hypothetical discussion. He said, she said, tabloid news, while the Saudi Arabian U.S.-backed coalition just bombed another bus, killing 22 children. I'd be interested to see what Heather Nauert had to say about this one. But I'd be willing to bet that they won't be talking about this unless they're forced to yet again. So please do that. Please get out there and spread this information. Make sure you tune into our show every weekday at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, where we'll be discussing more news just like this that you will not hear mostly anywhere else. And we will continue to give you what's really going on in the United States and around the world. If you want to tune in to TLAV Research and Review, where we continue this discussion for the next hours in an informal discussion with the chat, make sure you stay right on this channel. And as always, check out the show notes below and all the independent sources and question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.